You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, it's day 102 of lockdown, but I've been playing Tool's 10,000 Days album because it has felt a bit like a surreal eternity, this. What can we learn upon reflection as we pass the 100-day mark of lockdown? As always, the COVID-19 Daily Dashboard with Professor Adrian Puren of the NICD offers us a chance to do exactly that. Good evening, Prof.
Good evening, Michael. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Yes, 100 days. It's quite incredible to think.
What's on your playlist? What's on your playlist on 100 days, Prof?
I think I had The Cure, 100 years.
Yes, probably, absolutely.
Depressing, I'm sure.
What did 100 days gives us a time to say, right, we went into this lockdown on the 27th of March and we wanted to do a few things. Strategically, we wanted to buy time. We wanted to equip our public health sector and our private health sector with the right PPE and all of the resources to be able to fight the virus when we went back into our daily lives, because that's all we could do. We couldn't avoid it entirely. Did we buy time or did we merely postpone the pain?
I think we may have postponed some of these things, I think, Michael, yes, especially as we unlocked ourselves from the blunt instrument, as I recall you calling that. We just whack ourselves into some sort of shape. But I think, you know, looking at the R laws, the effect of R's, I think we simply shifted our time to a later date. And I think it's here, I think, in many ways. If you think about Western Cape and what's happening there, now I'm looking at the events in Gauteng, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and the Northwest province, I think, Michael, yes.
So what we are seeing is this: the R is increasing, and that was largely to be expected. But the infection fatality rate, from my vantage point, certainly looks at the low end. Would you agree with that? Overall, what are the main lessons that have emerged from you from that perspective? Yeah.
Yeah, I think when it comes back to one of the points that we've talked about constantly and we'll probably continue to talking about, so we should keep it on the show, is around the data, and how the data changes, and not knowing what goes into the data, I think also makes it a bit difficult. Because I try to look at the reasons for this so-called apparent decline. It's the case fatality rate is 1.63, and you see the slope down, but is there data that's not being reported? Was just slowness of reporting? But it just appears, a bit puzzling, Michael, to look at that type of data. So we may have to look at other sources of data again to triangulate this. For example, I think we've spoken about the hospital-based data. Admittedly, it's Sentinel data, but it's one source. And then look at the MRC data as well to look at excess mortality there to give us some idea whether or not what we're seeing is actually real or delayed or some other complexities that we're not taking into account.
And another important component of all of this has been testing, and aligned to that, tracing. Because if you're testing a population, you want to at least to be able to contact them and to trace who they've been in contact with, so you can isolate any interactions and help and hopefully isolate the spread that way. And if we look at, I mean, we've spoken at length about some of the testing challenges, but we're showing new daily highs in the testing. I just wonder if government labs are doing much contact tracing, and if so, where is this reflected?
Yes, I think we've got research, I think, for some reports, and I'll certainly do that and try and give you some feedback on that. What I did note as well is that there's still some level of physical community testing, and that certainly has, the ratio certainly decreased, I think, to about 18 or there percent, but there's some continuity of that. Also, interestingly, as I sent you a memo from Lancet, for example, where the strategy seems to be changing, or has changed, in terms of trying to focus on more, I suppose, focused testing. And it's interesting on that list are, levels of testing that I thought would not necessarily be routine, but yet it would appear to have been the case. And one wonders, again, if one had pooled all one's resources, if there were a way to do that, whether or not we would be able to have a more focused way of testing overall between public and private sectors to really give us a sense of what's actually occurring, rather than focusing on scenarios where testing may not have always been of benefit, perhaps.
Yeah, it does speak to a more perhaps coordinated strategy between the public and the private sector, yielding a far more effective results. But we'll keep on talking about this during the week. And some very interesting information that's coming through around localized communication and screening as well that might help contain infections at a community level. Professor Adrian Puren, head of the Center for HIV and STIs at the NICD, with your C19 Daily Dashboard here on Classic Business on day 102. And Williams is standing by with your news.